On the second line, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, the study of the Kal V'Chomer of Rav Chiya, to try to determine, based on this Kal V'Chomer, that if Edim testify and support half the claim of the plaintiff in the Toveya, the Nitba, even though he himself was a Kofar HaKol, would have to take a Shvuas, Modeh B'Miktas, and based on that Chiddush and that Kal V'Chomer, Rav Chiya would analyze the Shvuah in our Mishnah and define it as a Shvuas Modeh B'Miktas Doraisa in the case of Shnai Mochsin B'Talas. The Gemara has made a number of attempts to project that Kal V'Chomer and formulate it, and the Gemara has rejected those attempts. Ela Omer HaPapa Asi Migilgul Shvuah Deirechot. Gilgul Shvuah is when a person has two claims against someone, the same person, and we have the same Tovea and the same Nitba, but just two separate Tvias. In one case, in one Tvia, the Nitba is a Kofar HaKol, therefore he doesn't take a Shvuah. In the other case, the Tovea has enough evidence, for example, he's supported by the testimony of an aid, such that the Nitba would have to take a Shvuah. So Gilgul Shvuah tells us that from one Tvia, one claim, which does generate a Chiyuv Shvuah, the Tovea could be Megalgel, so to speak, could roll on to the other claim that doesn't have inherently a Machayev, a power to generate a Shvuah, and be Machayev a Shvuah. And the Kal V'Chomer now says, Rav Papa, is if an Eid Echad, which relative to Shnei Edim is Kal, it's light because it doesn't have the power to Mechayev Mammon, but it could be Mechayev the Baldin, the Nitba, a Shvuah, and not only that, it could be Mechayev the Shvuah, the Baldin, a Shvuah, even on something that the Eid is not testifying about, and that operates through the mechanics, the mechanism of Gilgul Shvuah, then how much more so can Edim, who are greater than Eid Echad, they could be Mechayev Mammon, they certainly could generate a Shvuas Modeh B'Miktas in the case of a Nitba who is Kofar HaKol. Because originally we rejected a Kal V'Chomer from Eid Echad to Shnei Edim, because in the case of Modeh B'Miktas, the Shnei Edim have to be Mechayev a Shvuah on something that they're not even testifying about. And that's not so in the case of Eid Echad. The Eid Echad is Mechayev Shvuah on that which, to contradict that which the Eid is testifying about. But now the Gemara is establishing that an Eid Echad who's relatively lightweight compared to a Shnei Edim, yet he could be Mechayev a Shvuah such that the Nitba will take the Shvuah on something which the Eid Echad doesn't know anything about. And that's through the mechanics of Gilgul Shvuah. The Gemara now rejects this Kal V'Chomer of Rav Papa by offering the following pircha: Mal Gilgul Shvuah Deid Echad Shekein Shvuah Gorer Shvuah Tomer B'Edim De Mamon Kamachayvi. In the case of Gilgul Shvuah, the Shvuah the Eid Echad and the Shvuah the Gilgul Shvuah, two separate Machayvi, meaning the Chiyuv of Shvuah on the claim which is not supported by Eid Echad, that Gilgul Shvuah is not in any way a result of the Eid himself, but rather it's a result of the Shvuah. We're being Megalgil a Chiyuv Shvuah. From one Chiyuv Shvuah, we are generating a second Chiyuv Shvuah. That's called Shvuah Goreris Shvuah. If the second Shvuah, the Gilgul Shvuah, was inherent in the Eidus of the Eid Echad, it was a result of the power and the credibility of the Eid Echad, then yes, Rav Papa would have a good argument here and a basis for a Kal V'Chomer, but that's not so. The power of the Eid Echad is only to be Mechayim one Shvuah. The second Shvuah is engendered by not the Eidus of the Eid Echad, but by the first Shvuah. Once the Tovea has the rights to demand a Shvuah on one claim, he, the Tovea, has now expanded rights to demand a Shvuah on a different claim. Tomar Beit the Eidim, that has nothing to do with the case of two Eidim, to Momen Ko Mechayvi. that they have the power to be mechayev mamon, but who says that they can be mechayev shvuah, that which they didn't testify? Meaning, if the claim of the tovei, the plaintiff, was 100, the eidim support the claim on 50. On the other 50, the balance, they have no testimony whatsoever, no knowledge at all. And there is no shvuah that could be possibly megalgel a shvuah. And the Gemara now goes back to suggest the kal v'chomer of shvuas eid echad. Forget about Gilgal shvuah for the time being. Let's revisit the earlier attempt to establish and formulate a kal v'chomer. And we said that in the previous kal v'chomer we had the question, the objection. It's not possible for the eid echad to generate a shvuah, chiv shvuah, on anything that he's not testifying about, piv yochiach. Let's go back to hodas baldin. In the case of hodas piv, what happens is that the tovea, the plaintiff, is demanding 100. The hodas baldin of the defendant, of the nitba, is on 50. He's taking a shvuah now of modem mixus on the other 50. Even though the hodah is not related to the other 50, on the contrary, he denies the other 50. So you can see that the machayev of shvuah exists, or shall we say, is recognized by the halacha, even when the shvuah befall is not a contradiction of that machayev itself. So what was your argument against Eid Echad? How could you derive from Eid Echad a chiv shvuah on in the case of shnei edim of moda b'miktsas, on something that the aid doesn't testify about? Well, I'm going to prove that from the very case of piv of hoda b'miktsas, because in that case the koach of hoda is such that it can generate a shvuah on the other 50 that he denies. How much more so in the case of two edim who have a power that goes beyond that of piv? They have the power to be mechayev a shvuah, to be machish, that goes beyond hakchashas ha'edim, meaning even on that gray matter, that area where the edim don't testify. But the Gemara says, wait a minute, if you're basing yourself on piv, on odas baldin, then you have another pircha that we've discussed at great length of daf gimel, malapiv shekein einu bakchasha. In the case of piv, we have a superior power, and the proof in the pudding is the fact that you cannot contradict the hodas piv. Meaning, if even Adam would testify that he's not chayev, but he by his own admission is chayev, then we discount and ignore the Adam in favor of the hodas piv. And maybe that's why hodas piv has the power to be mechayev a shvuas modu b'miktsas. But on that, we're going to say Eidechad Yochiach Sheyeshno Bakrosha. Eidechad is Mechayev Shvuah, and unlike Piv, he has the ability to Mechayev Shvuah, even though he is vulnerable to a contradiction, if Eidim contradict the Eid. But despite that Mechayev Shvuah, the Eid can be Mechayev Shvuah. So don't introduce a Pircha and reject Piv, because Piv is superior in the fact that it's Eino Bakrosha. Eid Echad is Mechayev, even though it doesn't have that superior element of Eino Bakrosha, it is Bakrosha. Is Eid Echad Yochiach Sheyesh Na Bakrosha U'Mechayev O'Shvuah? But now you'll ask, well, Eid Echad itself is not a good, solid foundation for the Kal V'Chomer. Mal Eid Echad Shekein Masha Meir Hu Nishba Al Masha Meir Hu Nishba Tomer Be'edim Shemasha Kofar Hu Nishba is Piv Yochiach. So that when I isolate Eid Echad, I'm vulnerable to a Pircha, because Eid Echad only has the power to Mechayev Shvuah to be Makrish the Eid. So that doesn't give me the right to derive Shnei Eidim to generate a shvuah on that which the Eidim are not testifying about, and the shvuah is not akrashas Eidus. If I isolate Piv, then I'm subject to the vulnerable pircha of Eidim, of Piv is Einav akrasha. So therefore, the Gemara says, for Chazra Din, the only way out here is to create a tzad hashove. And that's called, in the Gemara's language, all over Shas, lo roi zeh k'roi zeh v'lo roi zeh k'roi zeh, meaning if I combine two forces, then I can produce a yalfusa from the combined forces of these two. So we're going to take a echad, that's mechayev shvua, we're going to take piv, that's mechayev shvua, and atzad hashovish ben shal yidei tainu k'firayim boim v'nishpa, that if there is some element that supports and strengthens the claim of the plaintiff, then the defendant has to take a shvur. In the case of Eid Echad, it's the support of the Eid Echad that strengthens the tvia, the taina of the plaintiff. In the case of Piv, it's the admission of the defendant of the nitba that strengthens the tvia of the plaintiff. Is combining those two forces together, yideitainu tfi'u kfira nishba, is afani ovi edim, I could derive edim, shal yideitainu kfira heim boim v'nishba. The edim certainly will support the claim of the tovea. And if you remember in yesterday's shiur, we call that a tainash chashuva, and it's enough to generate a shvua. Anytime you pull out a pircha, you're going to have to pull out a pircha that rejects both A plus B, both piv and eid echad. But you can't do that, because if your pircha is eino bakchasha, then I'll prove that eid echad is mechayv shvua, even though yesh no bakchasha. If you'll argue that eid echad is mechayev a shvua only on that which he testifies, but there's no shvua on that which he does not testify, then what about the case of piv? And that's your classical case of a tzad hashove. Unless we can find a pircha that knocks off both piv and eid echad, puts them both into a category that's unique, and that would be a pircha on the tzad hashove. Let's see if the Gemara is successful in doing so. Malitzad Hashava Shebehen Shekein Lo Huchzak Kafron Tomar Be'edim Shekein Huchzak Kafron. The premise of a Shvua and the meaningfulness of a Shvua is predicated on the assumption that the Nitba, who's going to take the oath, is trustworthy. However, there's a concept called Huchzak Kafron. In other words, when we know for a fact that a particular defendant, a nitba, has in the past a bad record, a criminal record, of denying a claim which has been proven and established with clear-cut evidence and testimony, such a person who has a record of denying a claim, he's a Huchzak Kafron, we don't trust his oath. We don't trust his shvur. So in the cases of Eid Echad and Piv, we really don't know whether or not the defendant, the nitba, is telling the truth. Therefore, we assume that he's a good guy, he's an honest fellow. And on the tzad that maybe this is his first offense, for whatever reason he's justifying in his mind his kfira's denial, but we can press him, and we can motivate him to come forward and confess the truth by imposing a shvua on him. And the shvua, the chiyuv shvua, is meaningful because it's going to deter him from lying, and he would not want to perjure himself. But if he has already had a record of a huchzak kafron, for example, the case where two eidim testify, that's our case, to support the claim of the plaintiff, at least halfway. So if the plaintiff is suing for 100 and the aiding testified support his claim on 50, and the defendant has denied the entire sum of the 100, he's a kofar kol, he becomes a kafron, because we have no doubt and it's absolutely certain and clear that he lied in Bezdin, at least vis-a-vis the 50. We have aiding to support that fact. But the Gemara now objects, Ubi Eidim Mihuchsa Kafron, do you assume that just because the Tovea, the plaintiff, has two Eidim to support his claim, a claim which the defendant, the Nitba, has denied, therefore the Nitba becomes a Huchsa Kafron, we can't trust his Shvua? We have two cases here of a kfira, a denial claim on behalf of the defendant. One is the case of milve, where the malve, the lender, demands payment for a loan from the borrower, and in this case the lova was kofra kol, and he denies that he took this money. Now witnesses come and they testify that he in fact took this money, and we can discuss two permutations, two possible scenarios. Either the lova was kofra kol, denied the whole story of the loan, or he denied the full sum of the loan and only admitted half of the sum. But be that as it may, the malve, the Tovea, the plaintiff, brought Eidim to testify on his behalf. And now the question is, does the Lova, by virtue of his Kfira, become classified forevermore as a Huchsa Kafran? And Rav Chisda says that a Kofer B'milva is Kosher Liedus. Now, with regard to Eidus, a Gazlan who steals money comes under the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, Al Toshes Yodchem Rosh Eliel Seid Chamas, he's Pasul Yedus. And nevertheless, Rav Idi, in the name of Rav Chisda, qualifies this Kafran as an aid. He's not Pasul, even though he denied the claim which was substantiated by Eidim, and the reason for that is that we have to assume that he didn't really come to a conclusion, a decision to steal from his friend. He didn't have the mos. This is the old svara that we had on Daf Beis called the Shtamutei Kamishtamet. He's delaying, he's procrastinating, he denies in the meantime, but he's hoping that new funds and assets will enter into his bank account, and then he'll take those funds and pay as he should pay. That means that he's not a Huchsa Kafra. Now we have a second scenario called Pikadon, a Kofra Pikadon. That's a case where Reuven gave an object into the custody of a shomer, and now the shomer denies that he ever received this object. Now the Eidim testify on behalf of the Mafkid that they know full well that this Shomer has decided to appropriate the object for himself. It's sitting up in his attic, locked up in some closet. And in this case, the Eidim are accusing the Nifkad of outright stealing. That's the basic upshot of their testimony. He is holding on to the object of the mafkid. Maybe he was a good guy, possibly when he took the object that he decided to be a shomer and help out the mafkid, but in the meantime, you know, his eyes became very hungry and he decided, this is a beautiful diamond ring, I'm going to take it for myself. In such a case, he's possibly Avis, because clearly there's no justification of Ishtamuti Kom Ishtamit. If the Avim saw the Pikadon in the house of the Nifkad, and the Nifkad still insists of being Makish such a claim, then he had Kavan of Gzela. And from henceforth, he's a Huxa Kafran, he's a Gazlan. We cannot accept his Shvua, we certainly cannot accept his testimony in a court of law. And therefore swing back to the case of Modav Miktas al Yidei Eidim, that's Reb Chiya's case, in which we had a Tzad HaShava from Odas Piv and Eid Echad. And what was your argument? That in the case of Shnei Eidim, who support the claim of the plaintiff on half of the claim, there's no way, no how, that we can accept the Shvua of the of the defendant, of the nitpa, because he's also kafir. No, he's not also kafir. He's just delaying. He's frutragging. He doesn't have the 100 in his bank account. That's called ishtamuti kamishtamit. He's not, you know, physically absconding, holding on to someone else's object. He's not a full-fledged gazlan, and therefore we can accept his shvua. So just like in the cases of Eid Echad, supporting the claim of the plaintiff, and the case of Hodas Piv, of Modu Mixas, in both those cases we trust that the Shvua and the Chiv Shvua will do its diligence and accomplish its goal. So too in the case of Shnei Edim, we can derive a Chiv Shvua from this Tzara Shova, and we really believe that the Shvua will accomplish its goal, and the defendant will finally come around to admit the truth. Ella says the Gemara Parechachi, I can offer a different pircha to the Kalvachor. Malatzara Shova Sheben Shekein Einon B'Toras Hazoma Tomar B'Edim Sheishnon B'Toras Hazoma. And what we're saying now is that if an Eid Echad testifies against the defendant that the defendant actually borrowed a certain sum of money on such a day in such a place, and then two witnesses come to Beis Din and say, wait a minute, my friend, you cannot possibly testify in such a way because on that day in that place you were with us elsewhere. And normally in the case of Hazama, which is formulated in Parsha Shoftim, Asisim lo kasha zomim lasos li achiv, the two aid would have to pay, the Edom zomimim would have to pay as they schemed. But here in the case of Eid Echad, there is no chiyuv of kasha zomam, and even though their aidus is completely batel umavutal, it's invalidated by the mazimim who say monu ayisim, that's only b'toras hakhasha, but there's no din of hazama. And the same is true in a case of a person who is mode. Let's say, for example, the love confessed that on a certain day he borrowed 50, and two aidim would come and testify that on that day he couldn't have possibly borrowed 50 because he was with us in a different place. There's no hazama, but Edim, on the other hand, who testify on half to support half the tviya, half of the claim of the plaintiff, they are subject to hazama. That means that the parash of hazama, once activated, weakens the power of the Edim. Again, Rabosai in Sfaro, we could have said just the opposite, that because of the humongous power of two Edim as the supreme evidence, therefore all the power to them, we have to find some sort of system of checks and balances, and that's called Hazama. But Hazama doesn't indicate that Edim are weak. On the contrary, Edim are very powerful, very strong. Holokasha, the Gemara suggests that this pircha of Yeshna B'Toras Hazama is Rabbi Chiya Toras Hazoma lo Parech. Rabbi Chiya, who is the author of this Kal V'Chomer, is not on board with this Pircha. In other words, according to Rabbi Chiya, the Chumra of Hazoma and Kasha Zomam in the case of two Edim, as opposed in contrast to Eid Echad, that's not a pilgrim on the Kal V'Chomer. The Hazoma destroys the Edus of Eid Echad, just as it destroys the Edus of Shnei Edim. There may be a technical difference in terms of the kiyum of the onesh of Kasha Zomam, whereas Eid Echad is off the hook and two Edim are on the hook. But as far as the vulnerability of the Edus itself as a valid testimony, there's no difference between Eid Echad and Shnei Edim. They're both equally vulnerable to Hazama. And therefore, since Eid Echad is subject to Hazama as far as Bittul Eidus, no less than two Eidim, the Eidim have to pay for Kasha Zomam because of the parsha of the Onesh of Hazama, whereas an Eid Echad is off the hook. That has no bearing on deciding which of the two, Eid Echron on the one hand, Shnei on the other, has Adifus, has more of a power, more of a credibility, if you will. Certainly the power and the credibility of two Eidim supersedes that of Eid Echron. And it's only because of the weakness of Eid Echad that the Eid Echad is off the hook as far as Azam is concerned. But once again, Eid Echad relative to Shnei Edom is inferior, and Shnei Edom is superior. If Eid Echad could be Mechayev Shvuah, how much more so can two Edom be Mechayev Shvuah? Ella, but rather Gemara has a different kasha, a different objection to Rav Chiya. Dika Omar Vitana Tuna, the fact that Rav Chiya established, he proved his conclusion based on Vitana Tuna, based on the proof that he adduced from our Mishnah of Shnaimos and Batal Midami. What kind of proof, what kind of analogy does Rav Chiya have from Shnaimos and Hossam over there in the case of Rav Chiya, where the plaintiff, let's call him the Malva, he claims that the Lova borrowed 100 and the defendant denies the entire sum of the 100. Isla Malva, Isla Sahadi, the plaintiff invites two witnesses to support his claim. And at least they support half his claim, but Lelove Lesle Sahadi, the Lova does not have Edim to support his denial on the other 50. The Havi Le Sadi Lelove Loboy Rav Chiya Lishtabuye. Clearly, if the defendant would support the Kfira part and bring Edim that testified on his behalf that beyond 50, he certainly is not chayev. In other words, let's say the Edim, for example, testified that they saw the Lova, the defendant, pay up 50 to this Malva. It's certainly Rav Chiya would drop the ball on a Shvua. There's no Shvua's modem mixas if on the Kfira element, that mixes Kfira, there is a support of two Edim to support the denial claim of the defendant, of the Nitba. Ki hechi ahocha, therefore, when we get back to our Mishnah of Shnayim Ochsim Betalis, ki hechi danan sadi bahai, anan sadi bahai. Certainly, Rav Chiya would have to admit that there's no room for a shvua here, because you're telling me that Reuven has testimony on half of the Talis by virtue of his tfisa, and that creates an anansadi, and that's going to generate a chiv shvus modem mixas on Shimon. But wait a minute, on that denial, meaning the other half of the Tal, Shimon has a proof. He also has an anansadi. He can pull out his edim, i.e., his tfisa, and his tfisa has the power of two edim. Is afiloch mishtavi? Yet the Mishnah says, despite that, there's a chiv shvua. Obviously, the chiv shvua cannot be a shvus modem mixas. Even Rav Chiya would have to confess that the Shvu of our Mishnah is not a Shvu of Smodu Mimiktas. But rather we go back to the original formulation of Rabbi Yochanan on Daf Beis Amid Beis, that this Shvu is a Takonis Chachamim, a new Shvu that was instituted by the Chachamim, established in order to avoid Shaloye Kol Echad Holech V'Tokei V'Taliso Shal Chavei V'Yom Shali. How could Rabbi Chiya possibly brought a proof from our Mishnah to establish the Shvuas Modu Mixas? The Shvu in our Mishnah is certainly not a Shvuas Modu Mixas. And therefore, we're going to have to sort of chop up Rav Chiya and assume that that Tana Tuna, where Rav Chiya evoked our Mishnah as a proof, was not being quoted as a proof to the Shvuas Modu Mixas. Eli Yitmar V'Tana Tuna, i.e. Dr. Rav Chiya Yitmar, there's another statement of Rav Chiya. And vis-a-vis the other statement he quoted, he evoked our Mishnah as a raya. The Omer Rav Chiya, what's this other statement? Mana li biyadcha. You owe me a mana, 100. V'Allah Omer ein lecha biyadi ala 50 zuz. I only owe you 50. V'helech. And here's the 50 that I owe you. chayav. Says Rav Chiya has to take a shvua on the other 50. My taima kemodu mitzat taina dami. Because the fact, despite the fact that he said, Heilich, you know, here's the 50, Mamish pulls out a $50 bill, a crisp new $50 bill from his pocket, and he throws it at the Tovea, that doesn't undermine the fact that there was a Tvia on 100, and the Nitba was Makrish, he was Kofra on the other 50, and if he has to take a Shavuos Modu Mixas. The Tanatuna. And here Rav Chiya pulls out our Mishnah as a Raya. Shnayim Oksim Vitalis. V'ahacha came in the Tophis. Anan Sadi divide the Tophis. Helichu. Our Mishnah is in fact a case of Helich. Uketani. Despite that, the Mishnah Paskins. Sheishava. Why is our Mishnah a case of Helich? Because since the half on which there is a hodah, again that hodah is based on the fact that tfisa is like an anansadi, that half is muchsak biyad asheni. So it's true that the let's call him Shimon, the Shimon is holding on to half the talis, it's true that he has a hodah on the other half of the talis by virtue of the Anansadi, but at the same time he has a halach on that half of the talis because Reuven is holding on to that half of the talis. And yet, despite that, there is a chiv shvua, so that Rav Chiya has a proof from our Mishnah that halach does not undermine the chiv shvua. Meaning, the fact that the nitba is willing to cough up half of the tviya, the claim, that doesn't mean that the balance of the claim is now a new entity, as if we have two separate independent dine Torah, one on 50 and another on 50. No. Rav Chiya says there was a din Torah on the entire 100. The fact that he coughs up 50 and the nitba really does this halach thing, that doesn't mean that we drop the ball on comparing the original tviya to the hodah. Namely, modu mitzat taina v'yishava. And the proof is evoked by Rav Chiya from our Mishnah, from Sheshes Omar, Helich Potter. According to Rav Sheshes, once the nitba offers the Helich on that which he's moda, he has exempted himself from a shvuah. My timer, what's the logic of Rav Sheshes? Came in the Omer Le Helich. Is Hani Zuzi the Komodi Begavayu Kimanda Nokilu Malvadami. Once the Nitba pulls out this $50 bill and he says, you know what? This is yours. I'm willing to give it to you right now, immediately. It's as if the Malva is holding on to that 50 now. He received payment of 50. Is Be'inach 50 on the other 50? Holomodi, we have a Kofra Kol situation on the part of the defendant. Hilkach leka odav b'miksataina. So Rav Sheshes, as opposed to Rav Chiya, is willing to split this into two parts, two independent entities. There's a din on 50, and on that din with Halach we close the case, file closed, and then there's a new din on the other 50, the balance, and here the defendant is a kofra kol, there's no room for a shvuah. But says the Gemara, Rav Sheshes Kasha Masnisin. After all, Rav Chiya proved that Helich is Chayav Shvuah from our Mishnah. What's Rav Sheshes going to do to defend himself, to deflect the Raya of Rav Chiya from our Mishnah? Melacha, Rav Sheshes. The Gemara formulates a counter argument on behalf of Rav Sheshes. The Shvuah of our Mishnah is not a Shvuah Smod Mitzis at all. But rather, as we saw in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, back on Daf Beis, Masnisa Takonis Chachamimi. The Mishnah itself is nothing more than a brand new, independent Takonis Chachamim of Shvuah, in order to avoid a possible pitfall in Jewish society of Loye Kol Echad, Holy Fatokit Talos Shal Chavero, and therefore there's no riot from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is not a Shvuah Smod of a Mixas, and it could not be a Shvuah Smod Mixas, says Rav Sheshes, because it's Halach. The Idach, What's Rabbi Chiya now going to do? After all, he invoked our Mishnah as a proof that Halach is Chayav Eshvua. And therefore, the Gemara has to backtrack now and insist that even Rabbi Chiya in the Shvua of our Mishnah is going to have to admit that it's not a Shvua Sator of Modu Mimiksas, the Takonis Chacham, and nevertheless, Rabbi Chiya still has a riot from our Mishnah to prove his ruling with regard to Halach. How is that so? In Takonis Chacham, and he, Rabbi Chiya also is on board our Mishnah, and the Shvua in our Mishnah is not a Shvua Sator of Modu Mimiksas, but rather separate and independent Takonis Chacham, and Miu. However, we have a general universal rule that in rabbinic law, the Chacham establish their laws and they are guided by and they mirror image the Torah law. They don't come up with something yesh me'ayin out of the clear blue. So if in the case of Halach we view the claim and the counterclaim of the Tovah and the Nitba relatively as one claim and counterclaim despite the Halach, now you could say that even though in our Mishnah we're talking about a case of Halach, nevertheless there's room for a Chiyuv Shvua and the Chacham could jump in and establish a Chiyuv Shvua. But Ela'i Amit Midorais Halach Patur is Metakti Rabban and Shvua the Lesa Tekavase midoraisa. Would the Rabbanan establish a Chiyuv Shvua when there's no parallel case in the Torah? The Torah specifically exempts him from a Chiyuv Shvua. Meaning, once the Tfisa establishes an Anan Sadi, and therefore it should generate a kind of a Chiyuv Shvua Smodu Mimiktas, again, for technical reasons, it's not a Shvua Smodu Mimiktas, but nevertheless, it's a kind of Modu Mimiktas. Nevertheless, we have a counter argument here of Halach, and that completely destroys the Chiyuv Shvua. How could the Rabbana now, Yesh Me'ayin, ex nihilo, create a Chiyuv Shvua and establish such a Chiyuv? That Takonis Chacham, it makes no sense. It's less of the Kavasi B'Daraisa. So if I would hold, says Rabbi Chiyuv, that Halach is Chayuv, that despite the Halach there's a Chiyuv Shvua, then we could say that our Shvua, as established by the Chacham, is Ke'en Shvuas Modu Mimiksas. Again, technically it's not a Shvuas Modu Mimiksas because Anan Sadi, there's a proof that supports the claim of the Mode, and insofar as his Tfisa is an Anan Sadi, a kind of substitute of two Eidim to testify that he owns half of the Talis, therefore on that half of the Talis is no way that he could take a Shvua. Because after all, again, let's just go through the logic once more. That half of Talis that Shimon is holding on to, that's the half of the Talis that Reuven is claiming is his. And on that half of the Talis, we want to get Shimon to take a Shvua Smodu B'miktas, because he virtually, through Eidus of the Anan Sadi, agrees on the other half, the half that Reuven is holding on to. But how could Reuven generate a Chiyuv Shvuas Modu Mixas on the half that Shimon is holding on to when Shimon has two Eidim to support that claim on that half? And those two Eidim patur him from a Shvua. So again, technically, there's no way, no how, that we can interpret the Shvua of our Mishnah as the Shvuas Modu Mixas. But nevertheless, when the Chacham make that Takana, they're in a sense overlooking that technicality and they're establishing a Shvuas Modu Mimiksas. There is no other Shvua Doraisa that this could imitate. But if Halach is Patur, then there's not even a starting point here for Shvuas Modu Mimiksas. Because if he coughs up half the Talis, then on the other half he's a Kofra Kol. There's no room for Modu Mimiksas. But if on the other hand Rabbi Chiya is right, that in Halach we do say Shvuas Modu Mimiksas, then we can justify that the Chachamim created a quasi Modu Mimiksas Atayna Shvua for whatever reason that motivated the Chachamim, as we discussed. Meisvei, now the Gemara has a kash from a braisa on Rabbi Chiya, who holds that Halach is Chayav Shvuas Modu Mimiksas. And here we're going to turn to Daf Dalid Amud Beis. Slun. Okay, there's a shtar loan document that supports the claim of the malve, but it's not exactly meticulous, meaning it's not precise. The shtar was written up as sloim. What do you mean sloim? Okay, sloim minimum is 2 sloim, but it could be 100 sloim. Or dinrim, but how many dinrim? So the shtar is ambiguous. Hamalva omer, of course, he's gonna blow it up. It's chamesh sloim, chamesh dinrim. Lova omer, sholosh. Again, the lova theoretically could have said shnayim, right? Because the minimum is shnayim, but he beefed it up and he said sholosh. Is Rav Shimon Elazar omer, hoil v'hodu mitzatayna yishala. Rav Shimon says that this is a classical case of a shvu, of a chiv shvuas modu mixas, because basically the claim and counterclaim is on the 3 sloim. You know, 2 sloim is already upgraded. That's not part of this debate, because the word sloim in the shtar indicates a minimum of 2. So the whole dinu dvar would be on the other 3, and the lova here is admitting to 1 of those 3. So in effect, you have a tviya of the malva on 3 and a hodah on the lova's part of 1. That's a modu b'miksas, and therefore the lova should indeed be chayav shvuyas modu b'miksas. That's Rav Shimon ben Elazar's position. Rav Akiva omer, eino ela kemeshiv aveda upotu. Now this concept of meshiv aveda, which again in its literal translation means that if I return a lost object to you and you claim, well, there were 2 lost objects, I don't have to take a shvua, it was nice enough that I gave you something that you lost, now you want to tell me there was more to it and therefore I should cough up the rest of it, or at least take a shvua on the rest of it. There's no mode of a mixas on a meshiv aveda. In other words, we give all the credibility in the world to someone who offers an Aveda back when he could have just pocketed the Aveda for himself. That's the greatest Mali L'Shaker. That's the most profound kind of a Migu that certainly supports the credibility and the trustability of the defendant. Here too, since the Shtar is written with Sloim, we have every reason to assume that that means the minimum, namely 2 Sloim, when the Love offers a 3rd Selah and says 3 Sloim in his loan, he's really a Meshav Aveda. There's no reason to say that when he gives in a lost, from the Malva's point of view, kiss it goodbye. All he has a chance to shot at is 2 Sloim. Anything beyond that is an Aveda. It's down in the bottom of the sea. If the Love, out of his kindness and his compassion or his dedication to truth, offers a 3rd Selah, that's a Meshav Aveda situation. And basically, according to strict law, if the lover didn't put his foot in his mouth and admit to the 3rd Selah, then on the contrary, the shtar is almost a testimony to support the lover's claim on 2 Sloim, that there was only alpha on 2 Sloim. So in the objective situation before the lover's admission on the 3rd Selah, forget it. From the Malva's perspective, he's producing a shtar that undermines his own claim, because the shtar really is a testimony on 2 Sloim. If the Lova, out of the goodness of his heart, decides to offer a 3rd Selah, he's a Meshav Aveda. Says Rabbi Kiva, he's potter from a Shvuas Modu B'Mikzas. In any event, Ketani Mias, we see in this Braisa that Rabbi Shimon Allah Omer, Hol V'Hodu B'Mikzatani Yishova, Taima Di Omar Shalosh, Hashtayim Potter. Had he admitted to 2 out of the 5 and nothing more than 2, he would not be Chayav Shvua. And the question is why? After all, he was mowed on 2/5 of the claim of the malv, of the plaintiff. And the answer is because Hai Shtai de Kamodi Be Helechu, Shmamino Helech Potter. Clearly, in the case where the lova says 2, even Rav Shimon ben Elazar admits that there's no chiyuv shvua. You'll ask the question, but let it be a shvua smol the mixes. The answer is halach. And this proves the shita of Rav Sheshes against Rav Yechiya, that halach is patur from shvua smol the mixes. Lo, the Gemara now defends Rabbi Chiya that Halach is really Chayev. Shvuli Olam Ein Lecha B'Shtayim Chayev. Ein Achinami in this Mishnah, even if the Lova had only admitted to two, he would nevertheless be Chayev Shvuah. Even though the Shtar is a kind of a Halach on that two, because, you know, here it is. Nevertheless, we still be Chayev Shvuah because Rav Chiya holds that Halach is Chayev Shvuah Smodu Miktas. If that be the case, you'll ask me, what about the diuk that we had? The Brisa says that the Lova was Moda on three. It's Haidik Tony Sholosh Lafuki Mida Rabbi Akiva the Yom HaMeshav HaVeda Aviyu Potok HaMashbol in the Moda Miktas Tain Aviyu V'Chayev. Rav Shimon Ben Elazar wants to spell out explicitly the case where the Lova admits to three, Lafuki, to exclude the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, and to insist that even though Rabbi Akiva argues in favor of a Meshav Aveda agenda, I, Reb Shimon, would hold that it's not a Meshav Aveda, and there is a Modu Mitzatayna, Nefis Chayav Shvur, that was the Chiddush of three. But if you ask Reb Shimon, under what circumstances would the Nitba, with the Lova, Bichayev Shvus Modu Mixas, he would say, even if he only admitted to two, because there too he's a Modu Mixas. I is Halach. The answer is Rav Chiya says that Halach is still Chayev Shvus Modu Mixas. He Haki, the Gemara says, Rav Shimon Alosa Omer, Hoel Vahoda Vimixa Taina Yishova. It's very strange, the language of Rav Shimon Alosa in this Brisa, quote, Hoel Vahoda Vimixa Taina Yishova. It seems that the reason why he's chayev a shvuas modu mix is because he added that third sela. That's what made him into a shvuas modu mixas. But if, on the other hand, he would be chayev a shvua even in the case of shtayim, is af zei shava mi boile. He should have said that even in the case where he's modu on the third sela, which makes him into a Meshav Aveda according to Rabbi Akiva, nevertheless he's Chayv. But the absence of the Af Zei Shava indicates that only in this case he's a Modu Mitzatayni Shava, because he admits to the third Selah, and there's no Halach on the third Selah, but if he only admits to two Slayim, that's Halach, and there is no Shavuos Modu Mitzas. So the Gemara now offers a new interpretation of this Braisa, that really the Tana of this Braisa is Bedafka. He is very meticulous about a case where the Lova was Moda on Shalosh. And in truth, if he had only been Moda on Shtayin, there would be no Shvua of Moda Mimiktas. Ella, but will defend Rabbi Chiya, that he shouldn't be contradicted by this Braisa. Li Olam B'Shtayin Patur. And why is that? Even though Behele Chayim. There's another reason, a whole different explanation as to why, in the case of Shtayim, the Lov is part of Meshur Shani Hacha to come a Sayele Shtara. That, as we said over and over again, if a defendant is Modu Mimiktas, but on the part that he is Kofer, he has the support of Edim, then he doesn't have to take a Shvua, his claim is supported. Here too, since the Shtar is understood to mean shtayim, because otherwise why the Edom write up a shtar with sloim or dinrim and not mention that it was more than shtayim, the shtar now turns out to be a proof to support the claim of the loaf that he only owes shtayim and no more than shtayim. And therefore, there's no reason in the world that the loaf should take a shvuas modu mimiktas in the case where he claims shtayim. He has the support that it's Shtayim from the Shtar. Inami the Gemara says another reason why, in the case where the Lova is Modon Shtayim, he's Potter from Shvuas Modon Miktas, Mishun Davile Shtar, Shivud Karkos, V'Einish Baran Al Kfiras, Shivud Karkos. When the Malva has a Shtar in his hands, as opposed to a Milv Balpeh, verbal loan, this is a loan that is documented. The Malva has rights to collect from Karka. The Shibud now is on Karka, which means that if the Lova sells Karka, the lokeach, the buyer, is buying karka with a lien on it. That means if need be, if the lover defaults on the loan, the malva could come and claim the field and rip it out of the hands of the lokeach. So now when the lover is mode on shtei slaim, he's really being mode on a shibud karka, because he's saying that this shtar is a shtar of two slaim. And now there's a shibud on karka worth two slaim. Is now you're going to tell me, but he denies the balance, the other three slaim, should be chayv shvus mod mixes. The answer is that kfira is a kfira of shibud karkos. And there's no shvu on karka. Again, that's a sugi elsewhere, that there's no shvu on karka. So the Gemara now quotes a kasha from this brisa on Rav Sheshes, Ika demosiv mi seifa. Let's take a look at Rabbi Akiva in this brisa, and then we're going to ask a kasha on Rav Sheshes who holds that Helich is potur. The brisa says, quote, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Eino el kemesh vavedu potur. As far as the defendant who admitted on the third selah, he doesn't take a shvuas mode of mixas on the other two slaim, because Rabbi Kiva argues he's a meshav aveda. So the Gemara now makes a diuk. Taima di omar sholosh hashtayim chayev shvua. The only case in which Rabbi Kiva exempts him from a shvua is the case where he admitted that third selah. Had he denied the third selah and only admitted to two, he's no longer a meshav aveda, he would be chayav shvua. Rabbi Kiva only exempts him from a shvua by virtue of and because of the meshav aveda concept. Vashtar de komodi be kehelech dami. Shtar certainly has the same status as helech, meaning as far as the lov is concerned, with the malva is holding on to a shtar that testifies clearly on shnei slaim, the malva could immediately collect from karka mishubedes on shnei slaim. That's like halach, meaning basically the malva is holding on to two slaim's worth of karka. And yet, in the case of two slaim, we would daik from Yerakiva's words that the lover would have to take a shvuas modu mixas. It's a case of halach. This becomes now a kasha against Rav Sheshes. And the Gemara answers, lo. Rav Akiva was not trying to imply that if the lova had admitted only two slaim, he would take a fee of shvul. The olam eim lechav eshtayim nami potter. V'hai diktoni sholosh lafuki mi Rav Shimon Elazar. Di omer modu mixa tain avi v'chayav. Kav mashmon d'meshiv aved avi potter. In the case of Shtayim, there would be no Chiyuv Shvuas Modu Mixas, neither according to Rabbi Kiva nor according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, because it's a case of Halach, insofar as the Malva has a Shtar and a Shibud Karka. Why did the Brisa formulate the discussion and the debate here in terms of three slaim? The Lova was Modu on three slaim. That's in order to teach us that Rabbi Shimon Elazar denies the Svara of Rabbi Kiva's Meshav Aveda, and therefore he institutes Modu Mixa Taina Havi V'chayev. And again, there's no Shibud Karka on the third Selah, and therefore there's room for a Chiyuv Shvua. And in Achinami there would be a Chiyuv Shvua, not for the Svara of Rav Sheshes of Halach. And I think what's being said here, and we should really read the next part of the sugya to clarify this, is that even in the case of shtayim, the lova would not be chayav shvuas modu mimiksas, but there was a pressing reason why the brayis had to formulate the machlokas here in the case of shalosh, in order to establish that Rav Shimon denies the principle of Rabbi Kiva of Meshiv Aveda. And just to try to clarify a little further why the case of Shtayim would be Halach, and therefore according to Rav Sheshes there's no room to be Mechayiv the Lova Shvuas Modu Mixas, because the Shtar is Shibud Karkos, even though again The Shtar per se says two Slayim. But the claim of the Malva is that the Slayim, the general Slayim that's written in the Shtar, is really five Slayim. The Kfira, therefore, of the Lova is on the meaningfulness of the Shtar, the power of the Shtar, the scope of the Shtar. Does the Shtar go as far as five Slayim? So since the Tvia and the Hodah of the Malva and the Lova is on the Shtar, then we apply the principle of Ein Nishpon al Kfiras Shibud Karkos. And certainly as far as the Shtayim is concerned, in the case where the Lova was only Modal Shtayim, that's Halach, because no matter how you slice the cake, the Shtar is certainly a Hodah, a Ha'adah, an Edus on Shtayim, that's upgrade, that's for sure, and therefore the Shtar becomes Halach on the Shibud Karka of Shtayim. Again, you could vacillate back and forth about the balance of the claim of the Malva, meaning the three in addition to the two, whether that is really a Shtar and a Halach, or a Shibud Karkos, and we discussed this at great length, but you must admit that as far as the claim of Shtayim and the Hodah of Shtayim, there's a Halach on that Hodah of Shtayim, because the Shtar at its barest minimum is a testimony on Shtayim. And the Gemara says now, Hachi Nami Mistavra. It's logical that the Brisa has in mind a Ptur of Shvua, a Ptur Shvua, if the Lova was only Moda on Shtayim. Disalka Daitoch Shtayim Chayav, if you would interpret according to this Brisa that even if the Lovas Hodah was only on two Sloim, he would take a Shvua Smoda Mimiktas, is Bisholem Hechi Potale Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that Modav Mixas, in a case of Meshav Aved, is part of Meshvu, because it's purely an act of goodness, of what word should I use, of good Samaritan, that he gave him that third Sela. But you know what? Maybe that's not so. Maybe by admitting the third Selah, he, the Lova, gained something over here. It's not really a Meshav Aveda, pure act of, gratis and giving. Why? Because Hai Irume Koma Arin. The Lova, if we suspect him of being a little bit of a finagler, of not an honest guy, he thinks of Arume, he says, Sovar, he thinks, Ia Mina Shtayim. If I'll confess on Shtayim, is Be'ina Shtabuya, I'm going to have to take a Shvuas Modu Miktas. Ema, I better say Shalosh, by admitting that third Sela, even though I'm lying here because I know there's five, I owe him five Sloan, they are heavy Meshav Aved. He deliberately wants to set himself up as a Meshav Aved, be part there. Because Rabbi Akiva grants him a gift that, quid pro quo, since he was out of the goodness of heart, he gave back a third Sela, that's a Meshav Aveda, will exempt him from a Shvua. But now, the Lova has motivated and vested interest in being Moda on the third Sela in order to set himself up as a Meshav Aveda and part himself from a Shvua. El Shmamina, to upslug this logic and defend Rabbi Akiva, we're going to have to say B'shtayim Nami Potter, that even if the Lova would have admitted the barest minimum of Shtayim, he still would be Potter from a Shvua, and therefore by admitting the third Sela he gains nothing, there's no Erumikara Ma'arim, he's the good Samaritan of the Meshav Aveda, and that's why Rabbi Akiva says he's Potter from a Shvua. Ela, but now Kashal Rabbi Chiya, we've already proven now from this logic that if the Lova had been Moda to Shtayim, he would not be Chayav Shvuas Moda Mitzas. Doesn't that prove that since the Shtar is considered Halach, as by virtue of Halach he's part of Shvuas Moda Mitzas, and that contradicts Rabbi Chiya, the Gemara answers, Shani Hossam, you could always assume that Halach is Chayav like Rabbi Chiya, but the reason why in the case of Shtayim he's part of from Shvua is for the two reasons that we gave earlier. Either to come and say a shtara, he has proof from the Chesimas Hashtar of the Edim to support his claim that he only borrowed Shtayim and nothing more. There's no reason why he has to take a shvuah on the balance of the claim, the other three, because the Shtar supports his claim. Inami, as we discussed earlier, Mishum Davile Shtar Shibud Karkos Vemishboin Al Kfira Shibud Karkos. Is Mosiv Mar Zutra Berei Derav Nachman, now the Mishnah in Shavuos becomes a kasha on Rav Sheshes. What does it say in the Mishnah in Shavuos? Tano Kalim V'Karkos. The plaintiff had a double claim against the defendant. He asks for Kalim, demands Kalim and Karka. Hoda V'Kalim V'Kofar V'Karkos. Hoda V'Karkos V'Kofar V'Kalim Potur. Hodu mixas karkos, potu. Hodu mixas kalim, chayov. So what are the principles established by this Mishnah in Shavuos? If he had a claim to kalim and karka, and the defendant admitted that he owes kalim, but he denied karka, then for sure he doesn't take a shvuah, because he's denying karka, and there's no shvuah on karka. In a case where he was molded in karka and he denies kalim, why should he be potter from a shvuas molded in mikzas? There is kfira is on kalim, and there is a shvuah on kalim. In a case where he was molded mikzas karkos, once again the kfira is on karka and einish boin al kfira is karka. Mikzas kalim chayev. If he admits out of the two kalim to one of the two kalim, that's a classical mode of mitzvah, tiny takes a shvua. Taima, the kalim v'karkos, the karka lav bashvua, he ha kalim v'kalim, dumya de kalim v'karkos, chayav. Now, karkos, as we discussed earlier, is always halach, by definition, because there's no denial on the karka belongs automatically to the Toveya, and he's got possession over Karka, wherever the Karka is. And if that be the case, then we would like to set up Kalim Dumya de Karka. Now, in Kalim, there is no Halach unless he said Halach, here are your Kalim. And the implication clearly of this Mishnah is that, as the Gemara's Medayah, Kalim be Kalim, meaning if he's Modem Mixes Kalim, he would be Chayah. Because the principle of Einish Bon Al Karkos doesn't apply to Kalim, but otherwise, all things are equal, and Hodev Mixes Kalim would be like Hodev Mixes Karkos, which means that we're dealing with a case of Halach, because if everything is equal except for the difference between a Heftz of Karka and a Heftz of Kalim, as far as Chiyuv Shvuah is concerned, if all things are equal, then the Kalim here are Dumya de Karkos, just like Karka is Halach, so too Kalim is a case of Halach. And that's what the Gemara says, that if this Mishnah is establishing that Hodev Mixes Kalim in a case of Halach is Chayav Shvuah on the other Kalim that he denies, Hechidomi Lav Diomalei Halach is Shmamino Halach Chayav. In other words, the case is where the defendant says to the plaintiff, you know what? Here are the kalim, come and take them. They're munachim lefanecha, halach, come and take them. Lo, says the Gemara, no. Li olam eim lecha, kalim e kalim nami potter. If he admits to kalim and denies the other kalim, and he says halach, he's potter, like Rav Sheshes, v'hadu ketani kalim v'karkos, ha-kamashmalon, hoda v'mixas kalim, chayav af al ha-karkos. The chiddush of this brisa is the case where he was modeh on mixas kalim, and he has to take a shvuah even on the karkos. The Mishnah was not coming to be medayik that if he was modeh on mixas kalim, that he would take a shvuah on the other kalim that he denies in the case of a halach, but rather the Mishnah wants to tell you that in a case where he was modeh v'mixas kalim, he's chayav shvuah even on karka. This is the chiddush of Gilgul shvuah. Again, we know Gilgul shvuah, but we don't know the Gilgul shvuah onto karka. And the question is, yesh lachkar, what's the nature of the principle of ein nishbon al karkos? Does it mean that karka is mufka from a shvuah, or that karka cannot be mechayav a shvuah? and the nafkamina is going to be Gilgul Shvua. In the case of Gilgul Shvua, even if Karka is not Machayev Shvua, I already have a Chiyev Shvua from a different claim, and I could be Magalgal Chiyev Shvua onto Karka. And that's goof of what this Mishnah wants to be Machadish to us. Namely, that Gilgul Shvua applies to Karka, and that the din of Einish Bon al Karkos is not Afka of Shvua's Karka. There is a Shvua on Karka, there's no Chiyev Shvua on Karka, but if you can generate the Chiyev Shvua based on Gilgul, then there will be a Shvua on Karka. The Gemara is not happy with that, Maika Mashmalon, that wouldn't be a Chiddush of this Mishnah. Of Zolkakim, of Gilgul Shvua for Karka, because Tanina, we have it in a Mishnah Kedushin, Zolkakim Nechosim Shein Lemachrayis, that's Metaltalin, Es HaNechosim Sheyesh Lemachrayis, which is Karka, Lishova Aleich. And there is a Chiyuv Shvua through Gilgul onto Karka. So why would the Mishnah have to repeat that which we learned already in Mesechta Kedushin? Hacha, the Gemara says, Ikar Hosam Agav Greira. Vinaspa. We admit that there's a double, the Mishnah is doubled up and it's repeating, but here's the Iker Mishnah in Shavuos. That's where the Chiddush has to be formulated. That's where it's appropriate in context that there is Gilgul Shavuot on Karka, even because the Mishnah's Shavuot are presenting the rules and regulations that govern Shavuot. It's appropriate to tell you on the one hand that Ein Nishpa on Karka, and on the other hand that through Gilgul Shavuot there is a Shavuot on Karka. The Mishnah and Kiddushin, that's already Agav Grora Nas, but that's only quoting the din of Gilgul Shvua Agav. And they were discussing there in Kiddushin the dinim of Metaltalin and Kinyan Agav, right? Mesechta Kiddushin is the Mesechta Kinyanim. So within the context of discussing and formulating the rules that govern Kinyan Agav, they tell you that just like this Kinyan Agav, Karka, you can be Kona. You could be kona metaltalin, so you kona these metaltalin with a shtar with chazok that normally would not work for a kenya metaltalin, but through agav they work, and therefore the Gemara tells you that there's a similar concept of gilgul to be megalgil a shvua on karka. However, in a funny sort of sense, this Mishnah which we quoted as a kasha on Rav Sheshes, I'm sorry, as a kasha on Rav Chiyo, to prove that, let me get over this one more time, sorry. This Mishnah was being quoted as a proof to Rav Chiyo that Heilach is Chayov, because the diuk was that Hodu mixes Kalim, even when Kalim is doing the karka, there's a Chiyuv Shvua. Now the Gemara wants to suggest Ulaman di Omar Helich Potur. If you hold that Helich is Potur, that's Rav Sheshes Shita. Amai Itzur Krolamute Karka Mishvua. Maybe the whole concept of Ein Nishpon al Karkos is completely superfluous, because how can you ever have a Shvua on Karka? It's always going to be Helich. We said the Karka, by definition, by its very nature, is in its essence, is Helich. Hakol Karka Helichi. Halachu, Omar Lecha, this is what Rav Sheshes would defend himself. Itzrich Kra, we need a pasuk, and here we're on the top of Daf Heim and Aleph. Hecha de Chofer Be Sichin, Boros Sichin Moros. What if a person damages the heft of the karka itself by digging holes in the karka and ruining the karka? And now, basically, this is not Halach, because the defendant was Makalki, was Mazik the Karka, and he should be paying compensation to the owner of this Karka as a Mazik. And if, let's say, for example, the defendant is Moda to part of the claim, let's say, for example, the Tovea, in this case, the Nizak claims that you damaged two of my Karkos, and the Mazik admits to one karka, denies the other karka, this would not be a case of Halach, because the Nitba, who destroyed and damaged one karka, and he's chayiv to pay damages for that karka, which he admits he damaged, the plaintiff is the Tovel that he's claiming another piece of karka that he damaged, also monetary payments for the karka. And in such a case, we don't have a halach over here. Why? Because what the karka is today is a damaged piece of karka. So you can't say that if he wants the discrepancy, you know, the increment between a damaged karka and a healthy karka, I mean, fill in all the holes, there's no halach on those holes. But still, it's a shvuan karka because the tefiyah is the tefiyah's karka. And for that, we need the principle derived from the pasuk that ein nishbayin al karkos. Inami, I'll give you another case where we need the pasuk to teach us and establish Einish Bon Al Kos, Hechadutano Kalim Vikarkos, Vahoda Vikalim Vikafer Vikarkos. If the plaintiff was suing for both Kalim and Karkos, and the defendant admitted Kalim, and he denied Karka, that's the kfir on Karka, that's not called Halach. How can you call that Halach when he's denying the Karka? And the pasuk now teaches me that since the tvia is on karka, and therefore the shvua, if it was imposed, would be a shvua on karka, as a nishpon al kfiras karkos. We'll stop here.